As it's described, but one of them says the sword of God is the word, the Bible. That's his truth. That's the sword of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe with all your heart? Do you believe he lives in you? Let's pray. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This has been quite an odyssey I've been on for the last few months. Started with a simple heart test last February. And think of it like a battery tester. For a couple of years now, I've been right at the line between yellow and red on my aortic heart valve. And all of a sudden, it went, hip. The battery was dead. It was not only in the red, but it was critically in the red. I needed a new heart valve quickly. Quickly. Only thing is, there ain't no quickly in the medical world. Not at all. You got to go through all these protocols. You got to go through blood tests. You got to go through wearing a heart monitor. You got to get a heart catheterization. You got to go through another echo test, and on and on and on. So all that was just moving along swimmingly. And I happened to go face down at home one night, and we had to call the ambulance, and they came. And it didn't take them long to determine that that had nothing to do with my heart valve whacking away. My hemoglobin had hit 6, and I was running out of gas in a hurry. So I had to have 3 transfusions real quick to get my hemoglobin back up, to get my hemoglobin back up where they could do the other surgeries, and then in the course of doing that, they found I was bleeding internally, so they had to do a stomach surgery, and it's amazing. They don't open you up anymore. They stick a thing down your mouth and go, Yeah. I liken it to Roto-Rooter, for Pete's sake. But they found this cut bleeding in my lower intestine, and they patched it all through this tube, and they cauterized it, and lo and behold, the blood stopped, and they started to, the hemoglobin started to come up. That's great. And they had me in the hospital for a couple days, and as I'm leaving the operating room with this heart surgery, they literally stopped me in the hall. And they say, oh, by the way, the heart monitor you were wearing shows that your heart rate goes down to 20 at night. That ain't cool. We got to do something about that. So would you mind if we just spin you around, take you down to the heart clinic, and put in a pacemaker? What the heck? Sure, go ahead. Why not? I mean, I'm half goofy anyway from anesthesia. So away we go. Down to the heart lab, and they put in this pacemaker. Lovely pacemaker, the usual style with the implant in your chest, the leads into the heart. They keep me a couple days to make sure my stomach is healed, send me home. Because this is almost like a Keystone Cops movie. If I stay in the hospital, they can't do the heart surgery because it's an outpatient procedure and insurance won't cover it. So they've got to kick me out of the hospital for 24 hours and then bring me back to do the heart surgery. So we're cruising home thinking everything's pretty cool, and the phone rings. And it's the heart surgeon's office, and he says, guess what? Your aortic heart valve opening is bigger than any valve on the regular market. There aren't any that big. It's a 650 and you take a 750. And I haven't got a clue what they're talking about. But they said they have to get a specialty group who makes these enormous heart valve to get one and get it there and get permission from McLaren to use it and so forth and so on. And I got to admit, I got mad. I lost it. We're cruising home and I lost it. I got mad at God. I got mad at the doctors. I got mad at just about anybody who'd listen. As we were supposed to go to Florida in about a month, that went out the window. And more than that, we were supposed to go to my grandson's graduation from Alabama University, University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa on the 2nd of May. And I was in a pretty rotten mood. And something happened, kind of to both of us at the same time. I don't know what it was. But sitting there in that car, we said, you know what? We ain't in charge. We're not in charge. This is no longer our plan. We sit here talking about our plans, and we're now on God's plan. We are now on God's plan. We calm down. This level of, I don't know what you'd call it, that peace came over me. And I figured, you know what? He's got it. I don't. He's got it. Every one of my plans I've managed to botch so far. But he seems to have it under control. So we went on home. A few days later, we noticed some seepage around this place where they put in the pacemaker. Went in, they thought, that's not good. So they patched it up and they closed it again, sent us home again. And a couple of days later, it started seeping again. And they said, okay, come in, but this time just go straight to the heart surgical lab. So, in we go to the heart surgical lab. And they say, yep, it's infected. Got to come out. Now, I just had this puppy for about a week. And I was thumping away pretty good, I thought. So out it comes, which was a lot more miserable than putting it in. Out it comes. And they detect some infection. And they got to take 7 days. 7 days of heart cultures, blood cultures, tissue cultures to make sure there's no systemic infection in my system that would really mess up putting in a new heart valve. So they keep me in the hospital. Now that in itself is a real treat. That's a real treat. I'm mad at them, number one, because they no longer make their homemade custard. They used to serve a really good homemade custard. And now they've got canned pudding, for Pete's sake. So I'm a little angry right off the bat. But 7 days, antibiotics, at least 4 bags a day, 2 during the day, 2 at night, each 2 hours long, with the IV in each arm. And they say, be sure to keep your arms straight. Okay, then they come in every 4 hours to draw blood. And then they come in the morning and say, did you sleep well? Oh, heck yes. I just slept like a dream. I don't think I slept in I don't know how many days. So all 7 days, they come in, nope, cultures aren't back yet. Nope, cultures aren't back yet. And finally, this gentleman walks in and says, the cultures are back, and they're clean. We can go ahead with the other heart valve, but we got to put a new pacemaker in first. I said, haven't we done that? And they said, no, this is a different type of pacemaker. Goes up through a vein in the groin and comes into the heart with an actual electric wire in the heart that is a pacemaker. I said, fine, go for it. So they proceeded to start that. Now remember, I've had like four surgeries in about 10 days. So they don't want to give me general anesthesia anymore. So they give me what I call goofy anesthesia, where you're goofy, but you're alert. You're alertly goofy. And they start working, and I don't feel much, but I'm conscious. And all of a sudden I said to them, why are you hitting me? And they said, we're not hitting you, just relax, everything's okay. And several times I said, why are you hitting me? And they said, you're fine, everything's okay. Well, the next morning I found out the hitting me was the paddles. My heart stopped. Stopped for quite a while, and they couldn't get it started. So now, you remember, I've already got this one lead up through the groin. So they go to the other side, and of course, every time you gotta be shaved, right? Talk about the ultimate razor burn. Yeah. So they run a wire up through this side, shock the heart, and it starts again. So they proceed to put this new, whatever, Medtronic leadless, and I now have that. And it started beating away, and they said, that's cool. So now we can put in the heart valve. So two days later, they proceeded to put in my nice new shiny. They did get, and that's a whole nother story, believe me, how they managed to get this oversized heart valve. Just ask me someday and I'll tell you. But we got this oversized heart valve, so they go ahead and they put this new heart valve in. That's why I'm retiring the shirt. Okay? Now, the good news, this heart valve is supposed to be good for 20 years. This little, whatever it is over here, this pacemaker thing, is supposed to be good for 15. So I gotta hang around. I mean, I'm not gonna let them weigh with shortchanging me. So now, at the age of 105, I'm gonna stand up here and tell you whether they kept their word or not, whether this lasted. But through this all, what did I learn? What did I learn? I learned what a frail, flawed Christian I was. That I wasn't in tune with God all the time. I was in tune with my own plans, my own efforts. Oh, I said all the words, just like we all do. But he wasn't living in here. He wasn't living in here. And I got to tell you, 17 nights alone in that hospital with very little sleep. I'll tell you, you talk about a trinity. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were all there. Every single one of them. And we chatted. We talked about everything under the sun. And I learned what it means to believe. To believe with your heart. To believe with your heart. I also found out a little bit more about following his plan versus your own plan. And I learned about prayer, but not just prayer, this community of strength. My family on the East Coast and their friends and family and co-workers praying, my relatives on the West Coast praying in their churches out there. All you people here, what is it that tips the scale? What is it that made my heart start again? Is it Sioux Post chicken soup? Is it the visit from Ken and Christy? Dana, good grief. I know I'm a fun guy to be around, but 17 days, morning, till night, sitting in that hospital, sitting, no pudding, no custard. I don't know how she stood it. We're checking now to see what the Presbyterian and Methodist method is of getting someone nominated for sainthood. I know how the Catholics do it. We got to find out how the Methodists and Presbyterians, because I'm nominating Dana. But all the cards, and not only the cards, the wonderful, the messages you wrote. The messages were, some were humorous. You know, what's the matter with you now? Get off your dead butt and get back, you know? Everything was just, it was wonderful. It's the power when a community of God comes together, when they come together to save someone. It's amazing. And I learned, I don't care whether they were black, brown, yellow, red, even not of our faith, women, men, what God has instilled in these people who do this work is nothing but stunning. It's nothing but stunning. The technology, the skill, the brain power. If you think that comes from anyone other than God, you're wrong. It's a gift from God. And I learned that those people were just wonderful. You learn a lot when you're in the first name with a surgical team. You know, well, hi, Bill, how are you today? And our own Dane Kurth, you know the Kurth, Dane Kurth is one of the head nurses in the heart surgical ward. So there was Dane. And I learned another thing, Christians are everywhere if you'll just engage them. Every time I went from room 108, it's a heck of a ride by gurney down to the operating room. It is a long ride through all those corridors. And I would start off, "The Lord is my shepherd," at the top of my voice. "I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And one of my favorite lines from the Bible, "He restores my soul." And I found almost every time, whether it was the porter dragging me down in the gurney or who it was, almost every time, the prep people, the people in the operating room would join in. They would join in. And one time it was almost eerie. Myself and the transport person going down the hall, and I was in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, and this male voice said, "Wherever two are gathered in his name." And I looked, and there was nowhere there. Nobody there. Now, there may have been a passing janitor, I have no clue. But somebody said to me, "Wherever two of us are gathered in his name." I thought a lot about a song. How many of you grew up in the 50s? How many of you remember a singer whose nickname was the Prince of Wales, W-A-I-L-S? Anybody remember who it was? Not a soul. Johnny Ray. He was called the Prince of Wales because at the end of every song, he'd get up to about 90 decibels and he'd almost scream. One of his famous songs was "Cry." "If your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye," remember? Yes. And at the end, if your sweetheart, so I never had those kind of pipes. But Johnny would belt it out, and he did a song called I Believe. It goes something like this. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come along and show the way. I believe. I believe. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why. I believe. But then Johnny would crank it up. He'd crank it up. And he'd say, every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Johnny Ray was like me. He was a flawed Christian. He was a flawed Christian. He was an alcoholic. He fought alcoholism his entire life. He fought other demons he could never defeat. And he was deaf. Oh, funny I should mention that. He was deaf from a Boy Scout camp accident. You remember the game blanket toss? We'd put someone on a blanket and flip them. Well, he fell, was head injured, lost all the hearing in his left ear and most of the hearing in his right ear. If you ever saw him perform, he wore this enormous hearing aid. Johnny Way, the Prince of Wales, a flawed human being. But you know what those who knew him said? He sang that song because he believed. He sang that song because he believed that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. He sang that song because he hoped he could save others. A very simple message. Jesus said repeatedly, follow me, and I'll lead you to the Father. But you've got to believe in your heart. Amen. Please join me in the singing, Because He Lives.